Previously on Those Were the Days.
Here in Hooterville.
Class 2 PD-BB.
Well, because in Hungary, that's called a cake box.
And then we get malicious compliance.
Pat Buttram.
Because yeah. I only know him from one thing.
It did prove to me that Pat Buttram was at one point a young man.
My favorite little voice he does is one of the bullets to the gun in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Which is like the lord of their fiefdom.
Why did you put an O?
Takes four people to remember a 22-minute episode of television.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
Life goes on, and so do we. Just how we do it is no mystery. Sometimes the answers may be hard to find, but that's something I will never be, because I'm right here on Those Were the Days, the show that watches old TV with a new perspective. My name is Amy, and this week we're wrapping up our series on spinoffs. I'm running the show, and we're talking about the Golden Girls spinoff Empty Nest. Fortunately for me, this nest isn't empty. I've got three characters here to help me talk about it. There's the dad doing his best, Audie.
You've got 25 calls to return. The waiting room's so backed up, you're out of toys, plus the Play-Doh's gone hard. I'm not working through my lunch again, so you get a move on or you'll be doing this without a nurse.
The sassy southern sidekick, Steven.
We're kicking all your parents out of this podcast so we can have some fun.
And the loyal furry companion, Travis.
Oh, that's me. I am ready for breakfast.
Like I said, we're doing Empty Nest, and we are covering the pilot, which is maybe not... I maybe did a disservice to the show by picking the pilot, because we do run into some of those things that we found when we covered pilots, some of the problems that doing pilots have. But that's okay, because I wanted something that had a little bit of everything. You know what I mean? Like, it's all the characters. It's all there. So I do have a clarification from last week's episode. I said that there, the episode of the Golden Girls, that's the backdoor pilot. It is in that it's the backdoor pilot of this iteration, but there's actually another one. It is the worst rated episode of Golden Girls on IMDb. And it's called, I think it's called Empty Nest. And it's not good. The Golden Girls are barely in it. And basically, you meet the couple next door. The husband is a doctor. The kid, the daughter has gone off to college, and the wife has empty nest syndrome, and it's a whole thing. It's not good. And so they did completely revamp what the show was going to be before it actually became Empty Nest. But technically, that is the backdoor pilot. It's not a good episode, though.
There was one actor that followed through from that episode of Golden Girls into the series, but he's given a different name. He's Charlie in this episode, but
he was Oliver.
Oliver, yeah.
Yep. He was a pilot instead of a cruise ship captain, but it was Joe Isuzu, David Leisure. Yes. That's what you know him from, the Joe Isuzu commercials from the way back times. Do you guys remember those commercials?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm going to nod and agree like I do. I
probably remember if I saw it, but
yeah.
I vaguely remember those.
Wow.
Because I remember him from the show.
Oh, see, so. I'm pretty sure I remembered it the other way around. So the premise is that Harry Weston is a pediatrician who his wife has passed away. He has three daughters, one of whom apparently she shows up later in the show when one of the other actresses leaves, but I don't remember her at all. Like when he calls her when he gets talked to her on the phone in this episode, I was like, I don't remember her at all. I remember the other two.
So that was a trivia thing that I read that I thought was actually, I believe it, and it's fairly clever, which was they were kind of anticipating that they might lose one of the two daughters at some point.
That's smart.
So they wrote a third character that would be off screen so that if that ever did happen, they could then bring her in and still have the two daughters the dynamic of two daughters with their dad in the house. Right.
That was clever. Yeah, I will say it confused me, and I spent the remainder of the episode trying to figure out which of those daughters was the 19-year-old one. Because I'm not running on all my, I don't have a full tank of gasoline today. So I was missing a few plot points here and there. And I was like, wait, which one of you is 19? You both look, wait, one of you has a husband? Why would a 19-year-old need a husband? And I was just thrown off so bad. But now this makes a lot more sense. Thank you for clearing that up.
Okay, so Travis, I know you used to watch the show, yeah?
Mm, yep, I remember.
What about the other two? Audie. Do you remember this one?
No. Negative, Ghost Rider.
No. How about you, Steven?
I got nothing on this one. I wish did. Right. I mean, I recognize the main actor dude. I like him. He's got a nice voice. It's very
satisfying. He's great
to listen to. I could listen to him read like the manual for Orville Redenbacher's popcorn. You know? Place in the microwave.
Yeah, Richard Mulligan is great, and I very much enjoyed him. I remember the show being on, I remember watching it. As soon as the theme song started, that flashback, I was like, okay, yep, I can remember this because it's him, especially those early seasons, it's him and Dreyfus, the dog, and he's taking him out. And like
one of the things when I was a kid is the part where it's like rain or shine and it is raining. And that for some reason, when I was a kid, was like the epitome of television. It's like, yes, this is excellent television. Thank you.
I remembered the character of Charlie being not nearly as cringy as he was in this episode.
I feel like toned him down over the years because like he's got that weird laugh thing, which he does when he appears on a couple episodes of The Golden Girls also. Yeah. And it's painful. Like that's some sidekick nonsense.
When I was looking at the listing on this and seeing that this thing ran for 7 years, there's no way this guy was on here like this for seven years.
No. It is more than the pilot, though, I believe. they let that go for too long.
Yeah. But like, so, I remember the show and I remember enjoying it at the time. I couldn't tell you the plot of a single episode. I had forgotten that he was a pediatrician. I remembered he was a doctor.
Yeah.
But not the pediatrician part of it. So that was, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
For a show to run for 7 years, like that's impressive, particularly a spinoff, like a spinoff show. Like that's Frasier level kind of up there, kind of level of success.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking 170 episodes and they had essentially the same main cast for all of that. Like Richard Mulligan, the one daughter, Carol, Charlie, Laverne, the nurse, we're all in, and Bear the dog who played Dreyfus, we're all in the entirety of the series.
That's pretty good.
I think Bear the dog being there the entire time was the most impressive thing. He's got a great IMDb photo too.
I'm pretty sure that he has been in more episodes of Golden Girls than anyone else from the show. There's a great Golden Girls episode where Sophia is going to watch Dreyfus for the weekend. And nobody wants her to do it because she's old and not responsible enough. And she's not, you know, she's not real together. So she loses Dreyfus. So she goes to the pet store and buys another dog, which, first of all, the cost of that dog would be just exponential of anything that she's got. And also they would never have a full grown dog, but whatever. So she she brings it home. But Dreyfus has come home. And now she can't figure out which dog is which. And so she has to ask Rose because Rose knows about animals. And she's like, well, it's an old trick. I know back on, I haven't done it since I was back on the farm, but let me see if I can still do it. Come here, Dreyfus. Come here, boy. And one of the dogs runs over. It's great. Great. Sophia's just mad she didn't figure it out. So this episode opens and we meet Harry and Dreyfus having breakfast together. Sort of. And this scene in particular, I felt was very pilot-y. There's a lot of discussion with Dreyfus about what's going on. Including that Libby, right? Is it Libby is the wife?
Yeah,
I think
Libby
has died, and you know they're all alone, and woe is me. It is really cute though. Like if you're a dude alone, you're just gonna talk to your dog. That's just That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I related to this scene in any way, but I have lived almost that exact scene in my life, save talking about my dead ex-wife.
Yeah.
Like that's the only difference. I have lived through exactly that. So I connected to that opening scene so much because of that.
So the phone rings and he dives at it, largely because he's been talking to a dog. I feel like it's funnier than it has any right to be. And it is Emily, the youngest daughter that we never see until later in this series. And she needs to know what to wear to the opera. And this becomes like a sort of Big Lebowski style motivation, right? It's like super low stakes, but it is like going to carry us through this entire episode in that he has to find out what you wear to the opera. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few good answers that we get also.
I also like that we're in a time period where you have to ask somebody a question like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now I just Google.
Yeah, you can't Google it.
Exactly.
Know somebody who knows somebody that's been to an opera.
Yeah. I mean, if it were me, I would go stand outside the theater on opera night and just see what people are wearing. Mm-hmm. Seems a little simpler.
What if she's got to drive 2 hours to the opera house? Like then, you know, that's an excursion.
That's
true.
That's fair.
See, think through.
There are some great shots of Dreyfus because his eyebrows do an awful lot of work in this show. He's just a delight.
Bear was an expressive dog.
He was. Oh, well,
my
guy.
First note is I immediately love Dreyfus.
Yeah.
Dreyfus is great. And Dreyfus is always great. I'm trying to think if there's been equally great, what other great pet companions in sitcoms have there been?
There was, what's the dog's name in Married with Children?
I don't know. I didn't watch
it. I didn't watch it.
They had a couple, there were a couple different dogs that they used over the course of the series, but he was great because in Married with Children, they would do the thing that I was kind of hoping or doing in my own head during this, which is they would actually voice the dog, like the dog's thoughts would get voiced, even though nobody could hear them.
Yeah.
Very occasionally, but they would do it there was two or three episodes where that happened. But he was a good kind of dog companion for that. I cannot remember the dog's name though.
Buck. That's what Darkness Files. Okay. Darkness Files says the dog name was Buck, and also gives us the tidbit that Dreyfus went on to be the first dog to get an EGOT, which is an Emmy, a Grammy, a Tony, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Oscar and a Tony.
Yeah,
he's great on Broadway.
That's awesome.
So our next scene in pilot fashion, we have to cover all aspects of Harry Weston's life, and we see Harry at work. I love that he's a pediatrician, right? Because it's never work with kids or animals, and this show has both, and that's great. I like it too because there are definitely heavy episodes of this show, I remember, right? Because there always are when there's a doctor involved. But this one is good because we've got Rocco. We have Rocco and Rocco's mom. Mm-hmm. And Rocco has swallowed his mom's ring. And Harry is done with his mom. And that is phenomenal. I mean, I don't blame him. She's a lot.
I have a function.
I have a function. Well, your function is going to have to wait for his function. Which was an outstanding line.
Yes.
When he gives Rocco the phone number and he's like, do not give this to your mother.
Yeah.
This is also where we meet Laverne, who is my favorite.
I love Laverne.
I love her.
I love her so much.
I recognized her as the character actor she is, and it was oh yes.
Yeah, she is. She's unapologetic about who she is in this show, and it is a delight. Mm-hmm. So it was Audie's bit, and it's the way she goes, and the Play-Doh's gone hard.
Yes.
Yeah. Because while Harry might love working with children, I feel like Laverne, like she does, but also she doesn't have time.
She's
for
probably
this.
Not
she
has to do all the gabillion children right outside the door waiting.
Yeah, she has to do the grunt work. I do remember I think it's actually from the Golden Girls episode where with Harry in it, but basically one of the kids brings a urine sample and he's like, all right, well, just brings him the cup. And he's like, all right, well, I'm going to put your name on it. Well, how are you going to know it's not chicken soup? Well, if this looks like chicken soup, then you are in trouble. So he asks Laverne, hey, you know, what do you wear to the opera? She goes, I don't know, I'm from Arkansas.
That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She was
good.
Zingers left and right. Like even the little exchange they had in the office where he tells her, well, you know, we could replace you with monkeys. Monkeys could be nurses. And she goes, yeah, if they weren't all doctors. And I was like, oh, that's good.
She understands who does all the work.
Yeah.
Yes. Or the great exchange of, I wish I could fire you. And she just comes back with, I wish I could quit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything they said to each other was just golden. And she was talking about getting married or something. And she, or dating. This is where we get into the plot. Yeah. But her whole line.
That was my other one I was going to go with.
Yeah. Her whole line about, we didn't, in Arkansas, we don't date. We just wash our hair on Saturday, turn 14, and get married.
Marry our cousin.
That was it. Marry our cousin.
Wash our hair every Saturday.
Wash. Wash. And I was like, oh man, warsh. I feel seen. That's like, I know those people.
Yep.
So this is where we meet Eva, who also works in this medical facility in a way later that is, we'll get into it. It's, but she goes, hey, are we having a date tonight? And Harry's like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, we've eaten together every Friday night for like a year. Are we doing that? What's that? Well, it's eating. Okay. Well, are we eating tonight? Yeah. All right. Great. So Harry's wife has been gone for a year and a half. And he's basically, so we're back home and Carol is there. And she has brought healthy food because he cannot handle that himself, which is understandable. And she's there. And so, you know, she gets a little ruffled when he says that he has a date, when she asks if he wants to come over for dinner. And he's like, no, it's not a date. It's just, you know, she goes, speaking of dating, how's that going? And her speech about dating is so good. I get to pretend to be interesting and a better person than I am. And I get to listen to how their therapy's going now that they've learned how to cry. And I get to laugh at their wit. And it's just the delivery is so good.
It was.
Oh, unbelievable. She's definitely a pilot character, pilot version of the character, though, because she gets a lot more put together real fast. It's terrifyingly 1988 for a while there, though.
Yeah,
I'm glad, because I was worried for her for a little bit there.
Yeah, no, she's all right. Because it's funny, because again, like, because I've watched The Golden Girls 800 times and she turns up a fair few. You know, I'm used to that version and I'm like, what is going on? It was very pilot. It's okay.
Yeah. Like any show, it needed to find its feet. And I mean, neither of the daughters are even living in the house yet.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then in walks Charlie Dietz, the irritating neighbor that just walks in the house. Every sitcom needs one. Charlie, as I said, it's David Leisure. And he's a cruise ship captain and womanizer and general creepy bad guy. And he steals food. And I don't know how we got to this arrangement of, I'm just going to show up and steal food. Like in Seinfeld, we at one point get the episode where Jerry says, you know, yeah, if you need anything, you just, you know, come on in. And Kramer just takes this as, you know, a constant. Like, we have no idea how someone like Charlie Dietz, like, especially because you imagine that he's been around longer than the 18 months. It just feels like that. Yeah, and so, like, yeah. We've been doing this whole time?
Yeah.
This whole time?
And he feels like he's significantly younger than Harry. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's like, definitely Harry's like a daughter.
You know, Harry's in like his mid-50s.
Yeah.
And Charlie feels like he's in his like mid-30s.
Yeah.
It was wild. I ended up watching another episode while I was doing the drawing for this, and it was the one a couple episodes later that has Blanche. And at some point, Harry goes over to Charlie's house just to get away from his daughters and stuff. And I'm still sitting here thinking, how are these two people friends? Like, how does this work? And how are they okay just going over to each other's houses like this?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a lot.
It was really funny because he just had foods from the cruise. So he had a bunch of little tiny foods and stuff.
That's pretty clever.
So our next scene is the quote unquote dinner date. Harry has brought some blue carnations that he got on the off ramp, as one does. And so he's kind of like, it's Eva gives him an ultimatum. And she's like, you know, well, we're dating. He's like, are we? I don't know. And she's like, all right, listen, why don't we get married? And he's like, this is our first date. I don't know. And she goes, we've been seeing each other for over a year and you didn't even know we were dating. And I'm going to go ahead and say that he's not the one that had the wrong of it in that relationship, lady. Like, that is straight backwards, ma'am. I have a feeling that you were dating him for a year and you didn't know that you were not.
That's one of those things you agree upon before you start making assumptions. Mm-hmm. Like, is this because you can definitely have dinner with somebody regularly of the opposite sex or same sex if that's your jam and not be dating? You know what I mean? But
I could see like a meal, right? Like you go out once and you're like, I don't know if that was a date. Is this a date? I don't know. Like, I understand that. Like, like, hey, you want to go out to dinner? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm out of my element. I don't know what's going on. But a year?
Yeah, that's a long time to never broach the conversation.
52 meals. 52 meals, and you have no idea if you're on a date.
It's when you sit down with somebody across the table and go, so, what are we doing here? Let's have a discussion. Where are we at?
Conversation prior to 52 weeks.
Not to mention the fact that they've been seeing each other, apparently. He's still wearing his wedding ring. I don't know if that was not a hint to her or what.
Right? Yeah. Like, my dude.
Look, you're married till you're not mentally, you know, after what he's gone through. You might be married till the day you die, even though she's not alive anymore. You got to, that's somebody you got to take their time to work that out.
The companion episode in the Golden Girls, He shows up because they're babysitting and they've got a baby over and he's got a fever. And so Harry stops by and Blanche is hitting on him. And Dorothy's like, what are you doing? Like there was an agreement 18 months. And she goes, and that's today. It's circled on my calendar.
Oh, my gosh.
So she gives him the ultimatum of, I need to know by Monday because I can't just keep hanging. And like, that's a you problem, lady. Leave Harry alone. Harry has done nothing wrong, ma'am. That's fine. Seeing how she runs the lab, he can do better anyway. It's the following morning and the other daughter, Barbara, has arrived. She's a cop. She has brought donuts. Fantastic. Carol shows up and she's like, oh, donuts. What a surprise. And I'm glad that I feel like some of that really lessened. Also, again, this is one of those like it's a pilot thing, right? We have to put them on opposite sides of a fence. And this is the line we've drawn in the sand for them is how should we eat? So to basically interrupt their little spat about food and marriage and everything, Harry announces that he was proposed to, and Carol is upset. Barbara has gone off to for a date and to go to bed in one transaction, and so good.
And he gives the greatest, like, "I don't need to hear that on your father."
You are a grown woman, and I cannot. Could you just not, though? is great. And so this interaction between Carol and Harry is, it's like pretty heavy, especially for a sitcom and especially for like the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a thing you kind of got to get out of the way. Like, I get that. You know, because it was a big deal because, you know, he was a doctor, so he was away a lot. You know what I mean? He's busy. He doesn't, you know, and that's a big balance. And she tells the story about when she was a banana for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a lot. And then Harry finally says, "I know the wrong parent died." And it's like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
That got so heavy.
Whoa. It wasn't just the one line. It wasn't just that the wrong parent died. Then it was, "I wish that your mother was alive and that I had died."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right after that. And then when Carol's like, "No," and he's like, "No, I do."
Yeah.
Like,
because geez. It's that parental thing of like, "I know that you were better with your mom. So I wish your mom was here and I was not to make you feel better right now."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's
I was not prepared for it.
No, that went real life real quick. That like deviated because like as a parent, like Audie was saying, like you feel that. You like, you know which one of you want to go first. Like, you know, like, "Well, I've always planned for me to die first." Like, that's in the, like, we all know that's going to happen. Men live less
bylaws.
Don't live as long as women on average. Therefore, I die first. Nobody ever plans for the other occasion.
Yeah.
You know?
So, you know, they kind of make up. And then we go back to presumably back to work on Monday. So now we get to the lab. And this is.
This is the coziest lab I've ever seen.
Yeah. So first of all, right. Like, so, I mean, the lab is fine, whatever. But then the fact that. I'm pretty sure the Harry being a germaphobe is a thing that didn't make it very long either, because it does get pretty ridiculous.
You couldn't really do that logically for too long.
And for, I mean, it, like real talk, it's like a not insignificant reason of why I never became a doctor. I had all the other qualifications, but sick people are icky and I cannot.
Yeah.
yeah.
So he goes in the lab to talk to Eva. And there's just like a big flask sitting there. And he's like, "Oh, what's that?" She's like, "It's a new virus." It's like, no, there's no. He just walked in his just sweater.
Yeah.
And this like sweater vest combo. And no, that's not how any of this works. You know, she's wearing high heels.
Oh, yeah.
You just know it.
Nobody's got on mastering. I mean, I know it's the 80s, but we knew some stuff. I mean, we weren't this dumb.
Yeah.
Again, coziest lab I've ever
Very cozy.
Seen.
Very cozy virology lab. And that's not, it was, it's just not good. It was so distracting to me. I'm like, come on now. We couldn't have had this literally anywhere else. We couldn't have had this happen like in the cafeteria anything, right? So, you know, he basically tells her, he's like, "Look, I'm not ready. Sure, it's been 18 months, but it might as well have been 18 days. I cannot, like, you know, I forget." He references some guy who was like picking up women at the funeral. Now he has a Playboy bunny and a prostate the size of something.
Hindenburg.
That's right. that was a good pick, the Hindenburg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he's like, I still want to be friends. And she's like, "Well, if we're still friends, then no one could live up to you, and then I'll be alone." like, lady, this is you're putting a lot of stuff on Harry that does not need to be there. These mm-hmm. are you problems, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Not Harry problems, but we're framing them as Harry problems, and I don't love that.
Well, no relationship that's built on these kinds of accusations is gonna last. Like basically true. Pressuring in the man into a relationship with you. I promise it's or not gonna else. Be what you want.
And so,
especially
you know,
a guy who's hanging out with you for a year and doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoys just sitting there eating and talking.
You've been friend zoned, lady. Sorry.
Yeah. Get on board. and so, you know, it's like, I'll really miss you. And he goes, listen, I left my tennis racket in the back of your car. Cause we gotta reel that back in somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tied up that loose end, Eva's only for this pilot episode. So then we get to him coming home and the phone is ringing and he yells at Dreyfus, listen, why can't you get the phone? You live here too. Which I'm not saying that I've had similar conversations with my cat, but I've had similar conversations with my cat. Can't you just get the door? I can't.
Do I have to do everything around here?
So it's Emily, and he's like, good news, I found out the opera information. Other answers that we see him get from the opera information, other than what do I know, I'm from Arkansas, is Carol says I haven't been to the opera, my husband's idea of going out was without me.
No.
And mm-hmm. I can't remember what Eva says, but she also doesn't go to the opera. But I can't remember why. But we find out
it wasn't nearly as clever.
No. But we find out that the answer is poof dresses. Which if you Google prom dresses from 1988, you'll understand this answer. It's all the fashion designed by the French. They probably don't wear them. It's just to irritate Americans. Pretty good. I like to think all of Fashion Week is just to irritate people.
Yes,
for sure.
Doozies mm-hmm. lately, baby.
I just look at fashion and just stay confused because I'm like, I don't know that these are the people that tell me my fedora is out of style and I shouldn't wear it. But I don't understand. I don't understand why they have a trash bag on their head. But that's
it's a whole thing where it's like actually like the Fashion Week and like the big fashion shows are like avant-garde art shows. And then that like trickles down into actual fashion in the same way that like modern art becomes hotel art becomes, you know, hotel carpet, you know.
I just wait until my fashion's cool again because it just goes in a circle. It's fine.
The only thing that bothers me is that when I can't, like, I'm never not going to wear low-rise bootcut jeans. And the only problem is that when they are quote-unquote out of style, it is very difficult for me to find new pairs.
Now it's mom jeans are back in.
I'm not a mom,
but no, I saw the SNL skit where we made fun of mom jeans. Like, and it's still funny to me. so I don't know what we're doing, but we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Saw a kid with a mullet.
When I was a kid, I loved like flowy, hippie 60s stuff, and my mother hated it because she did it the first time. So now seeing all these kids doing all of this 80s stuff, I go,
You're going to regret that. No. Like, there was this kid at this trampoline park with the shortiest short shorts and his mullet. And I'm like, dude, you're going to look back and go, what was I thinking? I promise you. Like,
because we all did.
Yeah. I know how you feel right now. You think you're cool. And it's just Billy Ray Cyrus thought he was cool too. It's not going to work.
And then we get a cute wrap up with Dreyfus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, listen, Dreyfus, listen, you are, you know, you're always happy to see me when I leave and I come home and you wag your tail. When I go in the other room and I come back, you wag your tail. And when I look away and look back, you wag your tail. So either you really love me or your short-term memory is shot.
And again, I cannot confirm nor deny that I have had that exact conversation with my dog.
Yep. And that's the end of our pilot. It's a good wrap up of like, here's where we're at. This is the deal. We've got daughters, and we've got Harry, who doesn't know how to navigate any of this. And here we go. So what did you guys think? Especially audience Stephen, who are unfamiliar with the program.
For me, like it's a pilot. So it's sure. One of those things, like, I think it deserves to get a real idea of what you're gonna see. Try 2 to 3, 4 episodes. Probably yeah. 4 episodes before I could really make a decision on the show as a whole. This pilot didn't work for me necessarily. Sure. Like watching the Golden Girls, I was floored by how creative it was right out of the gate. Watching this one, I was like, okay, Dr. Guy, 1980s, like I was, that's where I was. No, there were no jokes where I was like, ooh, I'm coming back next week for that one again.
Sure.
The nurse was close. Laverne. You know, those yeah. were funny. But the overall consistency of the show wasn't there that would have me go, boy, can't wait till next week. That's where sure. I landed on it.
How about you, Adi?
Yeah, that's pretty much me too. Like when Laverne showed up, I was like, why is this show not about her? Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. she's got me. And then, you know, like I said, seeing this went for seven seasons, like, man, I hope this picked up. This must have picked up at some point. Because I mean, I think it was a good pilot that seemed to just lay out everything you needed to know. Absolutely. You know, the wife is dead, you know where the daughters are coming from. And you know what his work situation is. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing with Eva and letting you know right away, he's not getting back together with anybody anytime soon.
Yeah.
But like I said, I watched the 4th episode and Blanche is throwing himself at herself mm-hmm. at him. I'm like, good Lord, is this show just about ladies throwing themselves at him all the time? Holy hand grenades.
What'd you think, Trav?
It reminded me of the show when I watched it, and it gave me that feeling of like, okay, I can understand why I kept watching this. Sort of similar. It's got the pilot syndrome of like, it's not yeah. fully baked yet.
Yeah, but I didn't do it any favors.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The Golden Girls episode we watched was seasons in, and it had some time for those characters to really get their footing. This episode didn't quite have that yet, but there are seeds of it. Richard Mulligan is great. Park Overall as the nurse is great. And that you can see that dynamic being a ton of fun when those two can banter back and forth a lot. If they, you know, smooth round off the edges. And like I say, there were a couple moments that just I, as a single guy with a dog, related to with Dreyfus. And Dreyfus is just great. So that was tons of fun. I would watch more episodes of this. Similar to some of the other stuff we've had, it's not at the level of Golden Girls. It's not there.
No.
But nothing like that's such a high bar to clear. And yeah. But the show is solid. And actually, Sophia becomes a regular character in the last yep. 2 seasons of the show. Because by then, Golden Girls was done. This also had a spinoff of this called yeah. Nurses.
Yep.
That ran for a few seasons. So after, but it was after Golden Girls and then the Golden Palace, which I think what that lasted like a season.
I think with Sophia. It might be 2. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And then after that wrapped up, she became a regular character on this show, which is kind of cool. But I liked it. I had a good time.
Good.
Can we just say, I'm sorry to anybody who watched this whose name was Rita, because...
Oh, yeah, we skipped over that line.
They were not kind to
you. The best part is his face. All right, so the
name it's like Rita. He's ashamed of that joke.
He's like, I should not have said it. The thing is, he's saying it just to make Carol feel better, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like, he's just saying it to make her feel better, and he doesn't know what to say to make her feel better, and he's like, I guess this is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I was just shocked that the words coming out of my mouth. The S-L-U-T word mm-hmm. was used on television at the time, because I'm like, isn't that like a dirt? Is that a dirty word for TV? Like,
said on the Golden Girls a fair few times.
Okay, well maybe it passes. Maybe the writers are just like, whatever, man, let's do it.
It's a bad word. I think about even a woman,
you can
fine.
Say slut. It's okay.
Well, I know,
no,
but
it
makes me feel wrong.
He's Green Acres. Don't drag him out of Green Acres. Leave him there.
I almost did, and then I was like, no, I don't think I should come out of my mouth. It would break me somehow. I just can't do it.
way better this way.
I think for me, though, the thing that made me enjoy this episode more than anything else, because, again, the Charlie character was, like, way more annoying than I remembered him being, yeah. So... obviously, that had to have rounded off, or the show never would have made it past two seasons. Mm-hmm. But it's Richard Mulligan in yeah. that role. Like, he's got great comedic timing. I mean, he started off, his big breakout was Soap. So, like, comedy he can do. And he's got great timing, and there's some well-written jokes. The Play-Doh joke was funny. I love his interactions with Dreyfus. Like, the first time he comes down, come on, go outside. And Dreyfus just sits there. He's like... you know, there are animals out there that can get their own food. And he sets the food down, and Dreyfus doesn't go after the food. He's like, what is that? I don't know what that look is. And like the line about, why can't you answer the phone? You live here too. Like, yeah. That's funny. That's a well-written joke. There was a few of those that were clever. So he definitely is.
I was going to say, I like the one when Carol's walking out and she's like, so Charlie, when do you sail out? He's like, Tuesday. Sink.
Yeah. That was good. There was also the line when he's talking to Carol about his date, and he's like, she is the only person that isn't family or drinks from the toilet that cares about me.
Okay, y'all are making me appreciate the show more now that we're rehashing it. I feel like I should just watch it with you, and then I'll be a whole different experience.
I should have picked a different episode. But I did want something that had, you know.
This is also one of the things where we talk about the way television is made nowadays. Like, back in the day, you did the pilot, and if that worked well enough before it aired, you ordered a full series. And so you're doing 24 episodes. These days, it's like you're lucky if you get 10, and we'll see how those 10 do. But you better be on top of it.
Yeah, the pilot followed by a 10-episode order, followed by maybe that 24 episodes. And then, or sometimes you're like, pilot didn't air, order a second season. You know, it depends on the, it depends on the show. It's kind of wild. Like, what do they expect?
Yep. Someday, test audiences and projections.
Mm-hmm. Someday I'll make you watch the pilot for the Golden Girls, where they had a gay cook, and Sophia comes from Shady Pines, and we learn her whole backstory, and it is a wild time.
So a couple of things about the show that I thought I thought were kind of neat. First of all, it was a top 10 show for three seasons.
Yeah.
Wow.
On air. And it ran on Saturdays. This was back in the day when Saturday was a big TV day. And it was in a block with Golden Girls and then eventually Nurses. And they were all created by the same people, and they would have intertwining stories like a hurricane coming through Florida and all that kind of stuff, which I thought was neat. But also, some of the guest stars they had on Empty Nest were pretty great. Obviously, Bea Arthur, Rue McClanahan, Betty White, and Estelle Getty. But also, Lonnie Anderson, Don Adams, Mayim Bialik was on a couple of episodes. A young Stephen Dorff was on here. Garth Brooks, Phil Hartman, Carol Kane. I mean, they had... a lot of people come through. Bobcat Goldthwait was in an episode.
What?
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of neat too, to see some of those. Jerry Orbach, Matthew Perry. Nice. Yep, Yeardley Smith. So they definitely got some people on there, either early in their career, like Mayim Bialik, because I think that was pre-Blossom for her.
Had to be.
These guys were notable for getting people in the beginning. Is Golden Girls had Mario Lopez, George Clooney, baby George Clooney is on an episode. Oh, right. Yep. There's a bunch of them. They were real good at picking out these people that were gonna be somebody.
The creator of this also helped create Soap, Benson, the Golden Girls, this show, Nurses. So, you know, a few hits there.
Yeah, they did all right. So that wraps up spinoffs. I'm now going to spin off my own podcast. I'll see you guys later.
It was your plan all along, wasn't it?
I tune a bit. Yeah, this is my backdoor pilot. we're on to the next big thing. And the next big thing, chosen by you, our listeners, is jumping the shark.
Dum, ba, bum, bum. That was the best
Which
I could
do. We've had a lot of conversation today about what that actually means.
Yeah, that's been a tough one to define.
Which is funny. I mean, it is. One of the first things we suggested doing when we started this podcast.
Yeah, we did. Like,
that was when, like, oh, that'll be fun. Now we're like, maybe that wasn't such a great idea.
Suddenly we realize it's not as easy to pin down as you would think.
Yeah. Probably like an interpretation. Of our own independent thought of what we think a Jumping the Shark episode would be. I think we've discussed a few. We've just gone wildly strange episodes. Yep. Episodes where the vibe of the show was turned on its head. Like, one thing I can think of, and I'm not going to do this show, but, like, there was a season of Happy Days where they redid Arnold's. And then they brought in, like, these college kids, and Fonzie was a teacher and stuff, and everything about the show just was turned on its head completely. Like, everything you loved was... Once they changed the set, everything's over. It's no longer recognizable. And I remember those episodes of Happy Days being like, well, are we going to keep doing... Richie's gone. Like, we're done now. Like,
And there are examples from shows that would be outside the spectrum of this particular podcast, more modern shows like Lost has several different things you could define as like the moment that it kind of started eating its own tail.
Yeah.
Or Scrubs when they went to the school after, like, I can't remember how many seasons it was. And suddenly they weren't at the hospital anymore. They were teaching.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, like, it completely changed there. There's all sorts of stuff. So it's a tough one to nail down for sure.
Not to mention with this podcast, just look at the drugs episodes we chose.
Yeah. We all went off the chain with that. That's a very good point.
It's all open to interpretation.
Yeah. So don't expect it all to be just actual literal show took a decline at this episode kind of things. We're going to go all over the place. It's going to be a fun trip. I'm thinking.
I think so. The first interpretation of Jumping the Shark that we have is our good friend Travis. Travis.
It is. And I am going to interpret Jumping the Shark.
Just say, have you figured it out in time?
With the introduction of a new character to try and boost a show that's on its downslide. And so they bring in a new character. It's the Cousin Oliver syndrome, but it's not Cousin Oliver. We're going to be talking about the Flintstones. Episode The Great Gazoo, where an alien is introduced to the world of the Flintstones. It is available for streaming on HBO Max.
Yes.
All right.
And on HBO Max, it is season 6, episode 8, The Great Gazoo, voiced by Harvey Korman.
Nice. So.
I'm very excited.
And Cousin Oliver syndrome that you mentioned comes from the Brady Bunch, right? Didn't we talk about that pre-show? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the Brady Bunch introducing Cousin Oliver.
Basically, all the kids started growing up, and then they're like, here's another new, young, cute kid. They do the same thing on the Cosby Show. They do it a lot. Kind of gets
growing pains, did it?
Yep.
Little Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Kids get older, man. That's the worst thing about casting a show with young children. You got to figure out how to make it. You either got to, like, nowadays, you can just pump out season after season. You know, like, I'm thinking about Lock and Key with Netflix. They're just like, that one little kid's all adorable. I'm like, he gonna get older. Y'all better get these shows done. You know,
Stranger Things is struggling with that.
Yeah, those kids are grown.
They did a good job with the series of unfortunate events on Netflix because Little Sonny is little. And basically they got a first season and then they weren't necessarily sure they were going to get a second. So there was a little bit more of a gap. Mm-hmm. And so she grows up. But conveniently, the first season ends with them sitting in a waiting room. And so then they start the second season with, like, it feels like we've been here forever. And she's just, you know, bigger.
Definitely
older. Real good. Nice. Real good.
Yeah.
So that's that. Do we have any feedback?
Do we have anything? We did not get any email this week. I checked emails, and as far as Twitter goes, we got some likes for this week's art.
Rock and roll, but no
comments or anything for this week.
All right. Well,
their loss.
It is.
So that wraps up this episode. What's the email again? Those were the days show at gmail.com. And those days show on the Twitters.
Yeah,
that's where you can find us. So next week, the Flintstones, the Great Gazoo. Very excited about that with Travis. But for now, for me, for Audie, for Steven, and for Travis, thank you for listening. We'll see you all next week.
Bye.